Thank you. I'm so happy I have the opportunity to speak before you today. And I would like to share with you what I've been thinking about lately with respect to all the phenomena that I see in my travels, when I meet people, what I feel when I meet our people that are spread between all the nations. And that lately our people have been feeling great pressure, and anti-Semitism is surrounding us on all sides. And this phenomena has received an international, global character. I feel that this phenomena is actually widespread among people of academic institutions, universities, cultural leaders, educators, to a much greater intensity and prevalence than you'd find among the common people. A phenomenon that has reached a state where its waves are reaching such countries that have never been in touch with the country of Israel, that never had Jews live there throughout history. And we see how those waves of anti-Semitism are reaching those places and are truly washing over the entire world. We thought this phenomena was gone from the world, that it has no place. But we see that even though it is thousands of years old, it doesn't disappear, and it renews with greater and greater intensity and reaching wider and wider circles. So it's perhaps worthwhile for us to investigate what's happening here. Because I truly think we have a solution in our hands and to how we can calm everybody down and arrange ourselves better. And I would like to talk about that today. The question is whether the people of Israel themselves are the cause of all the problems and suffering in the world, as anti-Semites point. Are the people of Israel truly special? That the entire world is really united against it? What's in us that, as anti-Semites claim, that we cause all the bad things in the world and that everything, every negative thing on the planet is our fault? Is it true or not? We ourselves are not aware of any actions that we intentionally take to harm. And specifically those negative events that are taking place around the world, and why do they feel like that, and why do they feel like they depend on us? Meaning, if they say that we cause all the harm in the world, it means that we are very strong and capable, have a lot of power, and very special. On the other hand, they feel a dependency. Feel that they are dependent on us, which is a very unpleasant sensation. Imagine if you would feel this way. We would probably relate differently to that source of our suffering. Meaning, this is something that requires further investigation and in order to confront it properly. If it used to be that we were able to escape from one country to another during the 2,000 years of exile, then today this is not an option because there's nowhere to run. We didn't think about it throughout the 20th century that we would reach such a state. We thought that that's it. We've turned the page. The world has become free and integral. But to the extent that the world is has become interconnected and interdependent, and everyone is moving towards equality, we still see that it's not affecting us. And we see that this phenomena began in ancient Babylon, where for the first time they experienced the eruption of the ego in the human species. Before that, humanity lived very quietly, calmly, and as it's written in the Bible, there was one people and one language, and suddenly a big ego erupted between them to such an extent that people started hating each other, not understanding each other. They wanted to build a tower to the heavens, the Tower of Babylon, and rule over nature with their egos. And life changed. One of the wise people, one of the sages of Babylon, ancient Babylon, his name was Abraham. And he examined this phenomena and reached a conclusion that the ego, the growing ego that erupted, it actually brings us to a point where we have to rise above it. Despite the fact that he's pushing us apart, we have to grow stronger in our connection. Meaning, just the way we were connected before the eruption of the ego, now we have to connect with greater intensity above the separating ego. This force, this centrifugal force is pushing us outwards, and we have to evoke the opposite force, pressure ourselves and our relationships in such a way that we would try constantly to be connected with good life, pleasant life between us, according to the laws of don't do unto others as you wouldn't like done to yourself, and love your friend as yourself, with a warm embrace. And this is the trajectory. And Abraham, who was one of the Abraham was very well known among the people because his father Terach was the head of the educational ministry in Babylon. And so they advanced in this way. Abraham started explaining people about this and talking to everyone about this because he was a respected wise man, and some people listened to him and some did not. And from then, Babylonian people divided into two distinct parts. One part thought that what's happening among the people is a natural phenomenon and it's working to push the nation to greater success because ego brings good competition and it drives achievements. And a small portion of the nation, still a few thousands, they thought otherwise. They thought that, yes, we have to overcome, rise above our egos and come closer, become more united. And with the guidance of Abraham, they discovered that in the connection between them, they can uncover, reveal this inner force that exists in nature, which helps them even connect even more and draw them closer to the center of the people and discover life on a different level altogether, in connection, in love. And in that, they revealed a new force of livelihood that dwells in nature, and it's revealed only when people relate to each other in this way. They call this force the divine force, the godly force, the upper force. And that's why they call themselves Israel, Yashar Kel, straight towards God. And they determined to advance towards that goal. Of course, it created the separation, very sharp separation among the people. And it reached such a point that Abraham was forced to leave Babylon with his students and travel towards the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. And along the way, they would continue working on themselves to connect them more and more, specifically above the ego that was being revealed. So they related to this growing egotistic desire as a necessary means for connection, because that obligates them to connect. And that's how they continued to build and construct their society around these ideas. They were connected as one man in one heart, as it's written in the Bible, all those conditions. And they were able to sustain it. And over time, they've created the people of Israel in the land of Israel. And they lived here for hundreds of years. They've uncovered a complete Torah, the complete methodology of how to connect the people, how to become a people. And as it's written there, love your neighbor as yourself, which is the general rule of the Torah, which is about connection and love. And they've understood it and attained this from this natural forces that they've attained in the connection between them. And they felt that this is the future where all humanity is going towards. And they're developing in such a way that ultimately they will discover the evil inclination, this ego, and then they have no other choice but to reach the connection between them. And the people of Israel would have to be the leaders, the pioneers in this process of connection. However, about 2,000 years from the days of Abraham, in the land of Israel, the ego that would grow and erupt in them from day to day suddenly erupted like a volcano in them, that they were unable to overcome it, and they fell into it. They were unable to connect between them. That was during the days of Rabbi Akiva, that called on everyone. He was a spiritual leader of the nation, and he called on everyone to hold on to love your friend as yourself. And they fell into unfounded hatred, and following that, the nation fell apart. The people expelled, and we were in exile since then, in exile from that quality of love, of mutual bestowal that would tie us together. And also, similarly, in physical exile from the land of Israel. But as it's written in our sources, the people of Israel went into exile in order to attach the souls of the nations of the world to us. Meaning we had to reach this ancient Babylon, which the rest of Babylon, which did not follow Abraham and dispersed around the world, they were supposed to receive from us the preparation for the future connection that is destined to come. And that's the reason why we were dispersed among the nations of the world. And And each time we felt the pressure while living in one nation, we would connect between us. And as we connected the nation around us, whether it's the UK, Spain, France, Germany, when we connected and united, we would project, radiate this connection outwards to the nation around us. And out of that... And then if we were to succeed in corporeal businesses and that would drive us apart, we would then feel how the people around us would pressure us and negatively influence us until we would be expelled. And this is how we would move from one state to another with a very clear direction, but we were unable to really overcome this. We would work with those waves of connection for a few good years, then corporeal success would work on us, we would reach this connection between us, the separation. By that we would invite the negative attitude from the people of the country, and consequently expelled, and the story would repeat itself. Today, the world has become even more global. The connection between everyone is undeniable. The world is like a small village, and we live in this world. And according to the form presented to us by nature, the world and all of humanity has to receive this global form. In Babylon, it was not clear to everyone that they had to be connected in a good relationship, or we would eat each other alive. But today, it became much clearer. There is really no way to run to from this looming crisis in economy, in culture, in education, in family life, relationship. We are in a dire state. All of humanity, and no one has the solution. Rather, now, 4,000 years, almost 4,000 years after this, our business has begun with, you know, working with the ego and the love of the other, we now understand that we have no choice, that unless we reach a good connection between us, all of humanity, then we are facing very tough situations. All those Babylonians that are now dispersed around the planet, they don't need to, they don't really require much explaining that neither technology and economic growth and all of that will not give us pleasure, and our ego will not let us enjoy all the abundance that we are able to attain. And here we see this new wave of anti-Semitism, which is similar to past years, but now it's more complete. There's this hatred that travels around the planet and is aimed at us. And the reason is the same, that we cause harm to the world. Once again, they receive this feeling, this inner sensation from nature that we are truly the cause of all the problems. Because had we been connected between us, we would be able to bring that form of connection, the necessity for connection, the essential quality of connection to all the nations of the world. But if we're not working on connection, then the opposite is true. We cause the world to remain in the ego, in competition, and in all those negative forms of negative connection between humans that brings only problems and suffering to all. Therefore, we must understand that this wave of anti-Semitism is not going to fade away. Specifically, what we see today in certain college campuses and various circles of politicians and scientists and educators, and that sign various they sign various calls against us, and we have to understand it will not go away, it will not disappear, unless we begin once again to connect as we were taught by the forefather of our nation, Abraham. Since we are a people of an idea, the idea of the connection, that only because of the connection we exist, and without it, we are not we're not a people, we have no place in the world. And everyone will punish us as the cause of all harm. This is really the situation today. Therefore, we have to renew this method taught to us by Abraham and use it until we reach a degree of connection of love your friend as yourself. In that way, we can project, radiate the good force, the good energy to the whole world, and we will, and they will finally understand and feel that we are the carriers of the positive force. I think that this is what's in front of us. This is our goal, and we have to learn how to do it and to carry it out. In this way, we can ensure to ourselves and our kids and our grandchildren a good, secure life. And by that, we will merit to realize the purpose of humanity. Questions? Yes.
Do you think Israelis who live in the United States can assist in the struggle for against anti-Semitism? And if so, how?
I think that specifically Israelis who live in the United States are better suited to understand the gravity of the situation compared with the locals, Jews who've been living there for several generations or more. First of all, by being Israeli, he knows what it means to live in Israel and not to feel anti-Semitism. And those who were born here are like grew up in an incubator, in an isolation tank. They have the. I was amazed to find out with the local, with the Sabras here, that they have no concept of it. So I think Israelis abroad who live in the United States do understand what it means to live in a state free of anti-Semitism compared with the state that they feel there, that they feel in the United States. I mean, if you're inside it, you're somehow used to it. If you live here, you kind of turn yourself away in such a way that you would suffer less. You're used to being treated a little, you know, differently. But an Israeli feels it more acutely. It's a novel sensation, and I think in that they have the capacity to help this process of connection among the Jews. Additionally, because they want to enter the society of Israelis and Jews in the United States, and they don't feel it that this connects them yet, that creates a connection between themselves and American Jews, I think this too will give them the impulse to connect, the desire to reach it. And also, they speak the language, and they can read all the source materials about it, and they can reach a state where they can become more active. I mean, with respect to those American Jews who receive the kind of similar character to local Americans, Israelis are a more active part of that society, and they can truly be a driving force that would help the Jews in America to kind of rearrange themselves a little better with respect to this phenomenon of anti-Semitism, and help raise the people from a deep pit to a high mountain.
Hello. It seems like today there's a certain gap, even a tear, between the Israelis who live here, the Jews who live here, and those who live in the diaspora, as if there's a true difference between them. The question is how we can connect between them all for the sake of this common goal, or does it need to be just a matter of the Jews who live overseas?
No, we can say that this is a trouble. I mean, as I said, a time of trouble for Jacob, and from that he will be salvaged. From this we can resurrect our nation. Also, the situation in Israel is not satisfactory. We have to do it here as well. Although we don't feel similar pressures, similar physical pressure, like a Jew wearing a kippah is afraid to walk out of his home, and kids in college are afraid of getting beaten up. So here we don't feel the threats in such a corporeal, tangible manner. But we have to understand that the argument of all the nations towards us is toward the people and the state. It's one and the same for them. As much as Jews in America wanted to seemingly disconnect themselves from Israel, we see that the nations of the world don't really see things in this way. For them, it's one and the same. And it's truly so, because the problem, the phenomenon has to do with the Jewish person, not whether he lives in Israel or in the U.S. and he has certain political opinions or others. Has nothing to do with it. The question is, are you causing harm to the world because you're not fighting for the unity of the world, the unification of the world? That's the question. That's the reason for anti-Semitism. You are the principal cause. Instead of bringing the good force to the world, positive force of love and connection, you're bringing the negative force, of separation, of hatred. And this is for the towards the people of Israel. Regardless of the nation of the land of Israel, we received those blows even at the time when we were unable to live in the land of Israel. And we see this as a natural phenomenon, because all of humanity has to reach the purpose from this phenomenon so that everyone would reach a single family. We see how the general force of nature is pushing us towards connection, towards harmony, towards balance. And already we see that humanity in the future will have to reach a round state, a state of equality, of harmony, because this also corresponds to the laws of nature that are also drawn towards balance. Yes?
Hello. What's the main problem of the American Jewry as of today?
I don't think we have problems both in American Jewry, also the Jews in Israel, and anywhere else in the world. All we have to do is understand what we have to do, what the nations of the world truly demand of us. This is the main problem. The sooner we can understand this, that they demand from us connection, that when we connect, we unite, it radiates onto them, and they can live in connection, and by that they can chase out this global crisis on all its facets and levels. So it's not necessarily a problem of the Jews of United States or Jews of France or Russia or the UK or Israel. There is no difference. The reason is the same reason. The cause is the same cause. The only thing is that in some countries it happens a bit more under the surface. In other countries it's erupting more acutely. But the bottom line is unless we realize our role, we would invite even greater, more dangerous pressures. But I make no distinction between the actions we have to carry out among the Jews of the United States or the Jews of Israel or any other state for that matter. We can see also that anti-Semitism doesn't have a specific form with respect to Orthodox Jews, nationalistic, left-wing, right-wing. No, they're all, for them, we're all part of the same nation that has to carry out its role. And if not, they cause harm to it. It's very clear for them.
Today, the Jewish nation is very separated and dispersed. How do you see the possibility of us rising above all the differences between us and become as one nation? And also, if that's that unity that you're talking about, we would like to know.
Look, we have to understand that the growing ego in a person that actually helps a person rise above the animate degree, because we came from the animate degree, and the ego that's growing in us more and more and more, this is what separates us from the animate degree. By the ego, we're able to develop science and culture and education, everything that belongs to the human species. So I see that we have to understand that our development has to happen above the ego, meaning we have to use it, but correctly. Meaning I take the ego in all the forms that it expresses itself throughout the human species, in every nation, and in each and every human on the planet, and each one has to rise above the ego in order to be connected with others in a good, positive connection. There's nothing here that's completely illogical. We can see that in nature, everything is connected. On the degrees of still or mineral, vegetative, and animate degree, all those forms are connected between them. Only us, humans, are in constant struggle, one against the other. Each one and everyone rejects the others. So the question is, how far can we go? Where's the line? Where's the limit beyond which nature is going to start devouring us? Because by that we are behaving like a cancerous part that's eating everything, that's willing to devour the entire planet. So we have to learn how to do it, and we have a method. There's a new methodology, a complete methodology for overcoming our ego and construct ourselves as Kol Yisrael Chaverim, all Israel friends or guarantors to each other. This is our method, and only we can teach it to the rest of humanity. Yes.
In the past, there were waves of anti-Semitism that have been on our nation, and they were kind of quietened down, and kind of we made it kind of like it's okay. The question is, why don't we learn from the past? It looks like history kind of repeats itself.
It's hard for us to learn from our past. We see it on ourselves. It's not like we're talking about someone else. The problem is that we used to be in a spiritual height meaning in love, in connection, in mutual bestowal. We built our nation 3,000 years ago in such a way that was called the temple, Beit HaMikdash, meaning a sacred home, a quality that was of love that dwelled among the people. But specifically because we fell from this height, then all of this good attitude that existed between us disappeared. And today it's very hard for us to return to it. If that assignment for connection, for embrace, would have been given to another nation, not us, they would have been able to probably do it. But for us, it's very difficult. But specifically, because it's difficult for us, if we realize it, we could radiate that strength, that force to all the other nations of the world. And of course, it's difficult. As it's written, we're very stubborn people, very difficult. But we have to carry it out, and the more we talk about it, the more we discuss it, we will get used to it. There are special, but rather simple actions that we can do with the help of television and internet and various gatherings. We can reach such states by which we would feel what does it mean to be connected. We were never connected. And this method of Abraham is that we sit in circles of 10, typically, like a minyan that everyone is familiar with, and then we begin to develop between us this force of connection that everyone nullifies himself, trying to connect to others. We're trying, all of us are working to be we rather than me. And by that, we would suddenly reach a sensation that begins to fulfill us, to fill us. And where is it coming from? It's coming from specifically from our efforts to rise above our egos and connect between us to a certain degree. And that's what we have to do. And through these actions, if we will carry them out among the people, among the nation, they will immediately begin to radiate on us the force of connection. And we would feel, to the extent that we're connected, we will immediately feel, without doing any other external actions, we would feel the change in attitude towards us. Perform certain actions inside the nation, and you'll feel a better attitude from the outside. And they would not even know. It just happens. By that, you invite a necessary reaction from them. If you continue with the negative connection, in this regard, you will receive negative attitude. If you connect the people, bring connection to the nation, you will feel instant change of attitude from all the nations of the world. Let's hope that we can do it and carry it out. Thank you.